Well, Sean, that is ZZ Top and Got Me Under Pressure and leads this morning from Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday, which is happening on a Tuesday, brought to you by Subaru of New England. And with so much to love, don't miss the Subaru of New England A Lot to Love event. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Shime, hello.
Hey, Greg, good morning. So The Athletic released their yearly NFL season preview where they go through and they interview or they poll NFL coaches and executives from around the league. And this year they pulled 31 different NFL coaches and executives. And within that, they asked for them to name the three teams that they believe will exceed expectations, to which the Patriots were tied for the first overall amount of votes, with 7, tied with the Cardinals and Raiders. But what I found even more interesting than that was that when they were asked, when those executives and coaches were asked who they believe the best offensive play callers in the NFL are, they put Josh McDaniels 6th, a guy who wasn't in football last year, a guy who has struggled outside of New England away from Bill Belichick. It is kind of wild to me how highly the rest of the NFL sees Josh McDaniels. And so it's just, I am...
Well, when you say that, though, why? I mean, he was very successful here as an offensive quarterback.
Yeah, he was very successful with Tom Brady. He had one really good season with Mac Jones. Outside of that, Greg, he has had one top 15 offense in every other team he's coached. That's including his offensive coordinator stints, like with the St. Louis Rams, or his head coaching stints with the Broncos and with the Raiders. And so, and I think they were 12th in scoring his first year with the Raiders. So,
but to be fair, that year with Mac, in hindsight, looks spectacular, given how poorly he's played elsewhere. And outside of like the Shanahans of the world and McVays, how many offensive play callers are great without a great quarterback?
Not many. Not many. You know, look at Shime's boy and how they go from being high, Bobby Slowick, and now, you know, he's nowhere to be found.
Exactly.
He's in witness protection program. And I get that he gets it. And so it's kind of like a double-edged sword for him, for Josh McDaniels, because even though it's Brady, he still gets that credit of being the offensive coordinator. So other people will go, well, you know, they had Brady, but Josh was still good at helping, you know, put things together. So he gets that credit. When we all hear, we go, well, he had Brady.
Curtis, what did you think of Freddie Kitchens last night in the game he called?
Not great. The play calling was so bad across the board in that like first half from the UNC. Like, it just was shocking to me to see a guy. I forgot that Kitchens was even in North Carolina. It seems like an odd match.
It's a head scratcher.
Very
because
odd.
Because Bill comes in and completely revamps the roster and the coaching staff, but keeps Freddie Kitchens. So it's kind of like, you know, you would think that Bill might have brought in one of his offensive guys to it. So it's kind of a head scratcher. Ohio State snatched him up.
Right. Yeah. All right, Shime. So good news for Patriots fans, certainly. And you are questioning whether Josh McDaniels ought to be ranked that high and why he is.
Correct. Like he only got 2 or 3 less votes than Andy Reid, who has been one of the best offensive coaches in the league for like 20 years.
All right, Shime, thank you very much.
You're
Curtis,
welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, everybody. So Wiggy is right often, as much as it pains me to say that. And he's been talking a lot about Elliot Wolf and the Fall Guy. Andrew Callahan on his podcast had this to say about the Patriots front office entering year one for Vrabel.
There was an executive in the league who raised this idea to me about, you know, again, cleaning out all the Belichick and Mayo guys. He said, no, I think this is about the Wolf guys. And Wolf himself might be next, which is, of course, speculation. This person does not know, doesn't seem to have talked to Mike Vrabel about this. But there are plenty of grounds and reasons to get rid of Elliot Wolf at this point, especially as Mike Vrabel goes into year two, not the least of which is Ryan Cowden is waiting right behind him, as we know, is his number two. The Patriots have 2 draft picks left from last year's draft class. As I understand it, Cade Wallace, as I'll tell you in this episode with Brian Barrett, probably the 53rd player in the roster right now. So you might be down to 1 in a matter of weeks, and that's the quarterback who fell to them at number 3.
So Wiggy has been saying that the reason Elliot Wolf is here is because he's going to be the fall guy if things unravel with Vrabel in the front office. And now I believe stronger than ever, the first time the Patriots lose 3 depth that can replace the player that got injured because of the poor drafts, they will fire Elliot Wolf In season.
In season.
Yep. It'll be the first guy to go. He will be the first guy, you know, off the Titanic, because the fan base can rightfully blame him for the horrific drafts that he was a part of. And this allows the guys that are already Vrabel's people that are waiting in the wings, as Callahan just said, to assume the role midseason and then have their own draft be ready to go for next spring.
Now, I will say, Mike Vrabel on this show moments ago went out of his way to say that if you're looking at it from the outside and, you know, you think that we're just getting rid of guys who were a part of last season, I understand that that might be how you feel, but that's not what we're doing at all. Went out of his way to say that, but
yeah, my dad's a big actions over words guy.
Yeah, right.
And their actions tell you everything you need to
know. And more fuel to your fire. And it kind of, you know, made Courtney, she was spot on. But what Vrabel said, if you look at some of the drafts here in the past handful of years, not very good. And we want to build through the draft. So that's basically saying, all right, Elliot Wolf didn't look like he did a great job. It's now, as you said, after those three games, it's even more of a reasoning for him to say, all right, we need to move on from that guy.
It wouldn't be a crazy spin to say if Elliot Wolf did his job, Micah Parsons would be on this team.
Micah Parsons, not a good fit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that if you have
Micah Parsons is a good fit on every NFL team.
I'm just telling you what Mike Vrabel just said. Yeah. That's all.
I know. Yeah. That's my retort.
Because that's what I said last week.
Yeah,
yeah, but didn't he? He was really talking more about draft picks.
He really wasn't.
Oh, I thought he was.
No, I mean, listening to him once again, like he echoed exactly what he said last week. He didn't say Micah Parsons by name last week, but I picked up on it. And when Wiggy asks about Micah Parsons, he says, "Yes, we want to build within the draft. We want to build within. This wasn't a good fit."
Right, because I don't think he either wanted to part with the draft picks is what he's saying.
Yeah, but then after he says Micah Parsons, he's talking about specifically Micah Parsons being a good fit.
Well, and that's because, then he goes, you'd have to get, obviously, you know, paraphrasing, you'd have to give up those draft picks. And he then went on in that same kind of Micah Parsons question to talk about how it's about building through the draft, how the past handful of years they haven't been very good. That's how you build your team, you know, those type of things. So it's like, and then Curtis asked about, which I thought was a good question, well, if it was talent there, would you be more willing to kind of give up those draft picks? And he didn't really want to go down that road. He kind of kept leaning towards.
Which is completely different than what Elliot Wolf said.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Curtis.
Thank you.
We are at Gillette Stadium, and it is a Patriots Monday on a Tuesday. Boomer Esiason coming up at 8. Ty Law will be with us at 9, and we will be back with the rest of today's leads next.